Well, I appreciate very much Brother J.R. working with me on this tonight. He texted a little while ago and asked if there were any songs that I wanted led to go along with the sermon. I said, well, we could do this, and I thought it would be beneficial. In the past, I've had the song leader just go ahead and lead and then get up and preach, and then I've led the songs along, and that's hard to do. That takes a lot of effort strength out of me to try to preach and do that at the same time. And I figured it would be best to do it this way and have Brother J.R. lead them. And thank you for doing that. But this is actually going to be an introduction. I didn't turn my... an introduction to our Wednesday night classes. Thought we'd go ahead and get this out of the way. And we're going to kind of go back to this after... by the end of the class, we'll get back to this kind of material also. We're going to talk a little bit about how we can grow while we sing. We don't often think about growing while singing, but we certainly do. As Christians, as spiritual beings, we grow, we get stronger by singing. It's a blessing, and it's an honor to be able to sing praises to God, and to sing thanksgiving to God, and to sing prayers to God. As in our songs, if you look at them, we're doing all of that, depending on what the song is, but sometimes we're actually saying a prayer through song to God when we sing. And it's something that most people really take for granted. That it's just a part of our worship we do at the beginning, and then we get to the real stuff. We get to the sermon, we get to the other stuff that we see maybe is more important. But it's just as important as anything else, and we're commanded to sing just as much as we're commanded to have the Word of God preached, just as much as we're commanded to pray. All of these things are necessary. And in fact, I've talked to several who have not been able to sing anymore. Maybe in their youth they could, and maybe for whatever health reason they get to the point where they're just not able to sing anymore. Or maybe they're just not able to sing like they could in the past. They don't have the kind of voice that they had in the past. And it's discouraging to them. And a lot of them indicate that they would do just about anything to go back and be able to have their singing voice again. We don't need to take it for granted. If we're able to sing, we should be thankful for it. And we may not be able to sing as good as the guy next to us or the lady next to us, but if we can sing, it's a blessing, and we should be thankful for that. There was a lady when I was growing up in our congregation, Mrs. Carnes was her name, and she had cancer, and she had cancer so bad she couldn't sing anymore. She could hardly talk. She just whispered, basically. And she would sit there during the song service with a big smile on her face, just thankful to be there and thankful to be a part of the singing service, even though she wasn't actually singing. Whether or not it's a pleasant voice, whether or not it's a not very good voice, as long as we can sing, we should be thankful to God for that. And when you think about it, the Scriptures, when we look into the Bible, people were taught to sing. They were told to sing. I'm reminded in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15, if you want to turn there. The children of Israel have been in Egyptian captivity all this time, and they're finally going to get out. They've been crying and begging God to let them out, and finally they're able to cross and get out of the land, the foreign land out of Egypt, and they're free, they're in the wilderness, and they're told in chapter 15 and verse 1, as Moses is there with them, Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, and we have the lyrics of the song. It begins, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, and it goes on, and it's a song that's sung. And I would love to know how that song went, the tune of that song. There's no way to know that, no possible way for us to know what that is. But it would be very inspiring to me to know the exact song that they sang as they left captivity in Egypt. But no doubt it struck them that they're able to be free. They're thankful for it. They praise God for it. They give Him all the glory. And they show that through this song. David displayed the proper attitude towards singing throughout the Psalms when he said, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." That's Psalm 104 and verse 33. He says in Psalm 147 and verse 1, he says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." There's two different psalms in which he proclaims that, that he and there's others as far as singing is concerned. But he makes it a point to say that praising God is beautiful and it is pleasant and you should sing those praises to God. Christians were taught to sing when they were filled with gladness, when they were filled with happiness and gladness. James 5 and verse 13, the latter part of it says, "Is anyone cheerful?" James 5, 13, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." So you sing psalms because you're happy. You sing because you are joyful. And that's the examples we have, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as far as what we should be doing as well. But I often wonder if we have sometimes lost the joy of singing. Because oftentimes, as far as a service is concerned, many Christians who are singing, sing with virtually no emotion. And some, when singing, don't even sing at all. They just sit there with their mouth shut and don't actually sing at all. And I've known, and I'm sure you have too, I've known Christians who actually have complained because some singing was taken up part of the time they think should have been for the lesson. And if the song leader leads a song or two more, they get upset because that's cutting into the lesson, and then what's the preacher going to do? Well, the preacher's not going to cut short. The preacher's going to keep preaching and go a little bit longer. And that's something that some people don't like when that happens. But really, you know, singing a few extra hymns would be a good thing. And staying 5 minutes later, there wouldn't be any problem with that. There shouldn't be any problem with that anyway. And I've known Christians, and again, I'm sure you have too, that if they know that a worship service is geared toward singing, primarily singing, and that's going to be the main point of the service, then they don't go. They have no interest in going to a song service. And the reason I believe people have this attitude is because they fail to appreciate what a blessing it is to sing praises to God and to sing thanksgiving to God. And so as we sing, we should keep that in mind, realizing who we are singing to and being appreciative of that. Now, again, this is kind of introducing our class that we're going to have on Wednesday night. And as we go through that, we would certainly do well to attend that if we are able. But we certainly would do well to take from it what we can, to learn together, to work together, to try to make our singing better, to make our personal singing better, to make the congregational singing better, to work at getting stronger in that part of our worship service. We, as I've said before in introducing this, you know, if we're going to give a talk, the person who's going to give the talk is going to work at it and work up a lesson and hopefully do the best that they can in order to present that lesson. They're not just going to stand up and read something monotone and then sit back down. There's nothing wrong with that. But we understand that we want to try to do our very best at it. And if someone's going to say a prayer, they're going to want to try to do their very best. They're not going to put a half-ditch effort. And the same should be with singing. And hopefully we can all work together and learn some on that. And the reason we're doing this is there's been a few of you who have actually asked for this to be done so that we can hopefully, so that you individually can grow in that. And I certainly am going to be able to grow in my singing and trying to teach it too. And we'll work together and do our best to have a good class. So that's really the reason why we're doing it. And this is going to introduce that series of classes. We're going to learn, first of all, why we sing as Christians in our lesson tonight. Why do we sing? Well, we're commanded to. We understand that. But what's all the reason? What's all the points as to why we do? And as we go through each point, as I said, Brother J.R. is going to lead a song to kind of stress that point. After we go through the point, have him lead the song, and then we'll go to the next point and so forth. And there will be three of them. He has three songs selected for that. And the whole point, again, is to grow. How are we going to grow while we sing? How am I going to become a better Christian by singing? How am I going to be a stronger Christian by singing? That's what we're going to see at the end of the lesson as we sum all this up. Why we sing and how we grow when doing so. So the first thing we're going to do as we look at this topic, we're going to realize that the reason we sing, first of all, is to praise God. That's first and foremost. We're going to sing to praise God. That's the most common concept of the purpose of singing, and that is the main reason why we sing. No, as we sing hymns. And we understand that. We're singing from a hymnal. We're singing a book of hymns. Well, the word hymns is hymnos, and in the Greek, it means a song in praise of. So that's what a hymn is. It is singing to God and praising God for who He is while we sing. Another definition of that is to celebrate God in song. That's what we want to do, is celebrate God, praise God in song. This is a way that David reacted back. We're going to go to another psalm now, and we'll actually turn to it and read it now. Psalm 28, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 7 of Psalm 28. Again, David spoke often about singing. He spoke highly of singing. He talks about himself singing very often also. But in Psalm 28, beginning in verse 6, he says, Psalm 28, beginning in verse 6, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." Now, we read as David is writing his psalms, we read prayers that he wrote. Now, there's some very dark prayers in the way he feels about his sin, and we looked at one of those not long ago in the lesson, where he was so distraught over his sin, he said a prayer from the heart, begging God for forgiveness and saying over and over and over again he's sorry and asking for forgiveness. Well, in this instance, he says that he also will sing in order to praise God. So he's going to pray and he's going to sing. And both of these are necessary for him to be able to give God the glory. Give God the glory for helping him with his sins. Give God the glory for all that He has blessed him with. And we have a New Testament example of that too in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Remember when Paul and Silas were put in prison? They shouldn't have been put in prison. They didn't do anything where they deserved imprisonment. But after they were falsely accused by the owners of a slave girl, when they cast a spirit of divination out of that girl, and now she's no longer working for them and they're not able to make money like they were when she had the spirit of divination, then they took them to the authorities, and the authorities arrested them and threw them in prison and put them in chains in prison also. So here they are chained in prison, very uncomfortably changed in prison. It was something that we're told that they had, first of all, in verse 23, laid many stripes on them. And then they were supposed to be kept securely. So in verse 24, their feet were fastened in stocks. And besides that, they were in the inner prison, the deepest, darkest prison, if you will. So here they are in this situation. How would you react then? Well, the way they reacted is they sang. Now we're told they also prayed, but for our intents and purposes in this lesson, they sang in verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, singing hymns to God. Remember, that's hymnos. Remember, that is a song in praise of. So they were praising God while they were in stocks and chains in prison. That's what came to their mind, that we need to be singing praises to God. And so that's what they did. They sang to praise God. When we think about who we are today, who you and I are as Christians, we are spiritual priests. And we're going to notice what the Hebrew writer said, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Now, there's different ways you can praise God. You can praise God by praying, or you can praise God by singing to God. And that's what part of that is. If we're going to praise God, part of it is certainly doing so in song. And that's what we should be doing as spiritual priests, is we are offering ourselves to God, we're offering our praises to God, we can do so by singing. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 says that we are priests. It describes us, it describes Christians as being a priesthood. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We're offering spiritual sacrifices. Well, again, there's different ways we can do that. We can do that through prayer. We can do that through our good works. We can do that by acting and behaving like a Christian. But we can do that by singing to God also. So that's a part of it. We're spiritual priests, and we show that through our song. When we think about this concept of being a spiritual priest to God and this concept of praising God, what we need to realize is, as priests, we should put forth our very best sacrifice. That's what priests in the Old Testament had to do. The very best of the animal. Had to be firstborn, couldn't have a spot or blemish. How are we going to offer to God? If we're offering prayers to God, if we're singing to God, if we're working in God's kingdom, how are we going to do that? Are we going to do it half-heartedly? Are we going to just do it, get by with what we can get by with? Or are we going to put everything we have into praising God? He deserves for us to know what we are saying, certainly in our song. He deserves for us to have the proper mindset when we are singing. And He deserves for us to be singing it the way it's supposed to be sung. All of that is included in our praise to God, to the best that we can do. To the best that we can do. And that's what we're going to sing about now. We're going to sing number 5, "How Great Thou Art." And as we sing this song, I want us to think about what we're saying and saying to God, the way we are praising Him for who He is, for what He's done for us, the way that He's given us everything, that He will continue to protect us and care for us, that He's always there for us. And so I'll ask Brother J.R. to lead that for us now.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
Sing to praise God. Second, we sing to teach. As we are gathered together and we're praising God through song and through our worship and through our prayers, through everything that we do in worship, we are going to be teaching and admonishing one another. And that's because our songs are not just directed toward God, they're also directed toward each other. That when I'm singing and when you're singing, we are singing to one another, we're teaching one another, we are encouraging one another. Many songs that we sing are doing so that I can learn. So that I can see something that I need to see. So I can understand something about God, understand something about the kingdom that I need to know as a Christian. And you are singing that to me. And I'm singing that to you. And that's why when we come together, we're singing to one another. So that we can both have that teaching. We look at a couple of passages, and they're passages that we often turn to in order to look at the command for singing. But both of these stress the importance of encouraging and admonishing one another as we sing. The first one is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16, which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The word of Christ is in us, and as it is in us, we are going to let it out and share it with others, and we're going to share it with one another in order to receive that encouragement, the admonishing that we need. So we sing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs so that we will admonish one another. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 is a very similar verse, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And in this context, it's talking about what we should be filled with. We're not going to be drunk with wine, but we're going to fill ourselves with various things. And it says in verse, as we look in verse 19 of Ephesians 5, that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, as we're filled with the Spirit and then we're singing to one another, it's not a miraculous spiritual filling. It is being filled with God's Word. And we're filled with God's Word as we sing these hymns, as we sing these songs of praise to God, of thanksgiving to God, because it reminds us of who we are and what we should be doing as Christians. And again, you're reminding me and I'm reminding you, we're singing together in doing that. And it also reminds us of what we have as Christians. The fact that we have salvation. The fact that God has given us all the blessings of this life that we have. That we have one another. We have brothers and sisters in Christ there for us. We have the church to be a part of. We have all of these blessings in this life. And when we sing as a congregation, all participants are showing this fellowship. I'm taking part in this fellowship. You're taking part of this fellowship as we come together and do that. And surely as we do this, we want to do our very best encouragement that we can. And that means we understand what we're singing to one another. That means that I understand the words that I'm singing to you. That as I'm singing them, I'm paying attention to what I'm saying. No, it's not that I go through and then by the end of the song I've forgotten everything that I've said. No, I've taught you and you've taught me. That's how it's supposed to be. Where we are teaching one another and understanding what it is that we're saying to one another. That is the teaching part of singing. And it's a part that a lot of times people overlook. They get the praise, they get the fact that they're thanking God, they understand all that, but they forget the teaching. And yet both of these verses we just read stress the teaching. Now, it's one thing to stand up and preach a sermon and us learn together that way. It's one thing to have a Bible class. But when we teach through song, that's what is commanded of us. That's what is expected of us. And as we're doing that, the ones we are teaching deserve to hear enthusiasm in our voices. They deserve to be able to see how much we love the Lord by the way that we sing. We're not just going to sing to get by. We're not just going to squeak it out. We're going to sing in such a way that people know we love the Lord, we love them, and we want them to hear this message. And I'm going to sing them this message. And as we all sing, we should keep that in mind. We should think it's not just for me. It's that I want to share with you. I want to encourage you. I want to teach you. And I want to receive that back from you also. And so again, as we are singing, the next song we're going to sing is number 392, which is Count Your Blessings. And as we sing, we should be counting our blessings. As I sing to you, you should remember all the blessings that God has given you. The spiritual things that He's provided for you. Even the physical things that He's provided for you. Knowing that God is in control. God is in charge. God is taking care of us and providing for us. And most of all, count our blessings that He's given us salvation. And I want to share that with you in this song. And you should want to share that with me. So now we're going to sing this next song, number 392.
When upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what
So the last point we're going to make, and then we'll make a few summary points at the end, is that we sing to be filled. We sing to be filled with the Spirit. And again, it's not a miraculous thing, but we are filled with the Spirit. Paul charged the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And that leads into 5:19, which shows how to be filled with the Spirit, which is by singing and making melody in one's heart to the Lord. When we sing, we are enriched by the Word of Christ. Now, the songs are based upon God's Word. Now, the songs are written by men, but they write these songs and base them on God's Word. Now, if they're not based on God's Word, we don't need to be singing them. But as they write them and they base them on God's Word, then we are teaching one another, as we said in the last point, and we are being filled with God's Word. Paul charged the Colossians to let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. That's what he wanted singing to do for them, to let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly, which he says is done by singing with grace in one's heart. And so the Word of Christ is in us, and grace is in our heart. That is a truly Spirit-filled life that singing helps bring about. Now, other things, of course, bring about Spirit-filled life. But this verse is talking about singing, and that's what singing does for us. It fills us with God's Word. When we think about studying the Bible, essential. No question. We study the Bible, we have to know the Scripture. That is essential. Talk about prayer, that is essential. We have to pray, and we have to fill ourselves with God's Word by studying God's Word. It's necessary, it's demanded, it's commanded that we study God's Word, that we pray together, and we pray with an understanding. But it's also true that singing is essential. Studying's essential, praying's essential, and singing. If singing wasn't essential, God would not have commanded that we sing. He commanded that we sing for a reason. Again, we're encouraging one another, we're teaching one another, and we're praising God. And all of these things go hand in hand. And in that, we are filling ourselves with the Spirit. We are getting closer and closer to God and to His Word. So the next song, the last song we're going to sing, is Psalm 19, which is number 439. And you can turn there and we will sing that one.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
thank you, Brother J.R., for that song service. How can we grow? How can we grow while singing, which is really the whole point of the lesson? The first way we can grow while singing is by thinking. Knowing what you're singing. Knowing what the words say. We have to understand what it is we are singing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. And this actually talks about two different things, but we're going to look at the latter part of verse 15 specifically. It talks about prayer, first of all. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now, this is in a discussion on spiritual gifts, but we can certainly apply that to our prayers and to our songs. That when we pray, we know what we're praying. When we sing, we know what we are singing. And again, as we are speaking to one another, it's vital that we understand what we are singing. And that's a word of caution, I guess, we all have to make, even as we work on singing, technically as the best that we can as far as the technicality of it. We have to always make sure that our enjoyment of singing does not overcome us understanding the words. If we get too wrapped up in the music where we don't pay attention to the words, then that's not going to do us any good. The words of the song are the most important, and again, as we are singing to one another. That's why we're not singing for entertainment. We're not up here trying to entertain folks. This is to teach. This is to admonish. This is to encourage. And we certainly can enjoy the music without understanding the words, but that's not going to do us any good. It's not going to do anybody else any good either. So we have to make sure that the words come first and pay careful attention to the words of the song. Again, sometimes after a song leader leads a whole song, the audience will be, "What did I just sing?" And the song leader may say, "I don't have any idea what I just sung either." Just kind of going along with the music. We know the tune, and so we're singing and not paying any attention to the words at all. We have to guard against that and make sure that we pay attention to what the songs say. Some think about other things in life when they are singing. Some let their minds wander and think about tomorrow's day. Think about supper. Think about the football game. Their minds wander to something else, but we need to have our hearts centered on the song and know what it is that we are singing. It's not going to do us any good if we don't. So that's a word of caution for all of us. We all have to understand that. Of course, saying that, there's nothing wrong with learning the music either and knowing how to read the music and so forth. But first and foremost are the words. Second, we can grow while we sing if we involve our hearts when we sing. Remember, the grace in your hearts, making melody in your hearts. What that is talking about, and you can't use that as some like to use the Greek words and say, well, it's talking about twanging strings, and so that means we can use instrumental music. Now, what's that talking about is tugging at your heartstrings, plucking your heartstrings, involving your heart, and being emotional when you sing. We use our voices, again, to praise God, to teach and admonish one another. And that should strike emotion in us. Should cause us to feel it. And we should have the mindset that it's not just going to be going along with the motions. It's feeling what I am doing. And that in of itself is going to help in the singing. And of course, as we're looking at the technicalities and so forth, we're going to notice that there's some places, like in written in the book, that says you accent this note. Meaning that you really put emphasis on it. And that tells you right there that that's something very important that you need to really be singing out and understanding this point very strongly. And we're going to see that as we go through and look at other things. But the point is, be emotional about it. Don't just go through the motions of it. Actually feel what it is that we are to feel. Our attitude is reflected in the tone of our voices when we sing. It really is. You can tell if somebody's having a good day or a bad day when you hear them sing. You can tell if somebody wants to be singing or doesn't want to be singing when you hear them sing. Do they want to be at church or do they not want to church? Listen to them sing. You'll know pretty quick. It shows that much. It shows our heart. And it's supposed to show our heart. So we need to think about that as we're singing and making sure that we're doing so in the right way. Involve your heart when you sing. Number three, sing more often. And when I say sing more often, it doesn't mean you have to go through Walmart singing out so everybody hears you singing hymns. But it means that even if you're not singing out audibly, you can be singing in your head. You can be singing praises and thanksgiving to God. Is your singing limited just to public assemblies of the saints? Or are you singing like you pray? You know, it's interesting. Whenever it talks about prayer in these passages we've read, what else does it talk about? It talks about singing. Singing and prayer are both important. They're both there. They're both what we should be doing. We don't just come to the assembly and pray. We pray when we feel like we need to pray. And we should sing in that way too. And there's certainly nothing wrong with singing in public, singing in your car, singing at home, singing while you're working, whatever. Certainly nothing wrong with that at all. But has God blessed you? Pray to Him and thank Him for it, but sing to Him also. Remember Paul and Silas, they needed comfort. And so they prayed, but they also sang. Now we can even make use of a cappella CDs. There's good a cappella CDs out there where you listen to a group or to a choir sing, and you can sing along with them. And that will help you maybe even to learn songs. And it's not for entertainment purposes. It's to praise God, to worship God in your own personal life. You sing these songs as you hear these songs being sung. And it encourages you and uplifts you is the purpose of it. Take advantage of opportunities to sing. When there's singing night, come and take part in the singing night. If there's singings in other places, try to take advantage and go to those singings if you are at all able to. Increase your opportunities to sing. At church, certainly, with others, certainly, but even when you are alone. Fourth, you can grow while you sing. If you sit in a place which enhances the singing. Now, in our building's pretty small. Normally, there's somebody who's close to you, so that's not really an issue. You can sit pretty much anywhere you would like to. But the point is, I guess, don't sit over in a corner by yourself, away from everybody else who's singing. You know, you're going to want to be able to hear people, and so you're going to be around people, and you're going to be able to hear them as they're sitting next to you, and you're sitting next to them, and they can hear you, and we are together in this, enhancing the singing. People become more involved when they get involved with others, when they're not secluding themselves from others. They're not staying away. They're not saying, well, I'm going to sit over here while everybody else is sitting over here. I've gone to, maybe you have experienced this too at some point in time, and even where I've preached before this has happened, where we've had singings, and one place I was, we would all sit, actually probably more than one place, but one I'm thinking of, we would all sit on one side so that everybody would be together on one side, and everybody would move to that side to sing. And then people might come in, maybe they'd come in later, whatever, and sit on the far side over here by themselves. Oh, come and join us. Let's all sit together and sing together and enjoy one another and teach and admonish one another. We sit with people who love to sing, then we'll start loving to sing also. And then the last point I want us to make is we should take advantage of opportunities to learn to sing better. And again, that's the mechanics of it. But singing is more enjoyable when you're able to read the notes, to sing the different parts. When you learn, I remember when I was growing up and I worked at it, and I finally learned how to sing bass. It took a little time. I had to work at it, but as I did, that was an accomplishment. I felt good about that I was able to sing that part. And as we go through this, we're going to be, you know, working on parts some and at least getting the notes of the parts and looking at how they go and how they harmonize and so forth. It's really enjoyable when you start trying to branch out and do some of that. And everybody's not able to, and I understand that, but if you're able to at all, try something. Try to work on something. See if you can do something a little bit different maybe than you have before. Work on learning. Take opportunity to learn and take advantage of that. And hopefully we can all work together and strive to become better singers, both personally and as a congregation. But singing is just like anything else. The more you put into it, the more you will get out of it. So we're going to know those words. We're going to concentrate on those words. That's number one. We're going to know what we're singing, know what we're saying to one another. And then we're going to learn a little bit more than that and hopefully develop ourselves in a little bit of the mechanics of the music. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, if you haven't filled yourself with the Word of God, if you haven't obeyed the Word of God, we want you to do that. We want you to become a child of God, to do what is necessary to have your sins washed away. We want you to be forgiven of your sins. We want you to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've already done that, but you have sin in your life you need to repent of, we want you to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. First thing you have to do is become a Christian. Obey the gospel. Make sure that you are a saved individual. Make sure that you've done what Peter said to do in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. But once you repent and once you're baptized for the remission of your sins, keep living the life of a Christian. Whether you're going to pray with the right heart, sing with the right heart, live your life correctly, all of that is included. We hope that you're doing that. If you're not, we hope that you'll make correction. And if we can assist you in correcting that, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?